Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Pete Futek, I will say with a little bit of an ankle break there, Pete has been on about what a great, Shador, that's the quarterback, go to Shador. What murder? Basically dogged Dylan Gabriel several times as well with us. So I'm like, well, this is an easy one to tee up. What do you think about Shador on Sunday? He'll be awful. Well, okay.
I mean, that's what Pete does. That, like, the heart of Pete Futek is zigging when everybody else is zagging. So it's that part of it is hardly a surprise. I almost think, in a way, he's defending Shador, though.
By saying he'll be terrible?
I'll explain. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he goes through Well, he goes through all the other quarterbacks, and he talks about how they need time and how we can't expect anybody to be good, and doing it after a week and a half is insane. But basically what he's doing is giving anyone that enters the NFL their very first start, he is giving them the old Peter Lynn pass of sorts. Mm. He's like, J.J. McCarthy stinks. Of course he did. No one could expect him to be good right away. Caleb Williams, who Pete has called one of the most gifted college quarterbacks he's ever seen. He struggled for a whole year, and people in Chicago were complaining about it, and he's like, you have to give this one a little bit more time. And he went through example after example of how ridiculous this conversation has exactly gotten. The idea that after one game on Monday, people are going to try to do victory laps the same way people try to do victory laps after a half game of football, which I think we both agree is also pure and utter insanity.
So what I understand is, if Shador goes out there, puts up 275, three touchdowns, maybe only one turnover, and the Browns win by 10 points, you won't be taking a victory lap?
Pete is saying, this is what Pete is saying, okay? Pete is saying that that is not the expectation that should be had. Basically, He's calling him like the greatest quarterback to ever exist if it does pull it off. He, in many ways, and people that think the way that Pete is trying to explain this here, they're acting as if this is almost a win-win of sorts for Shador, and he can't lose.
I'll ask again.
You and I know that's not entirely true. I know that there is a loss here for Shador if it doesn't go well.
We're setting what Pete said over here off to the side.
Well, we were talking about Pete's comments,
but you made a very valid comment.
Within the context of what Pete was trying to pull off there.
You made a very valid comment about victory laps on Monday.
Yeah.
Can I get you to give me a guarantee that if Shador looks really good in the Browns win, you won't take a victory lap on Monday?
There'll be no victory laps. It'll be very nice. I'm not saying it won't be nice. There'll be no victory laps. Not a game and a half into this whole entire thing. You can't do it a game and a half in. That's insane. You can't do that.
I don't believe you.
You can't do that. Well, I guess we're just going to have to see him throw for 275 and then wait for my reaction on Monday, okay? Will I wear a Shador jersey in here on Monday? Probably. Yeah. But that's not a victory lap,
no,
friends.
No. That's just, you were going to wear that anyway.
It's in my closet.
The rest of the laundry was dirty.
I couldn't find anything else to wear that day if he, in fact, throws for 275.
I keep getting ridiculously close to what murder? He's a great guy.
Well, but there is that context that exists there. This should not be the expectation for anybody that enters the NFL, that your very first game you throw for 275, two touchdowns, and you light the scoreboard up. That's why if he does it, there will be a sense of excitement, not from the idea that you could take a victory lap. I don't think that's true. And I know, I promise you I won't. But the idea that you are doing something that NFL quarterbacks just don't do. And so there has to be a tip of a cap and acknowledgement that accompanies that.
I think the only thing I would say to what Pete was saying
So now we're back on Pete's comment.
Well, yeah, because I don't think he realizes how bad the Browns have normalized awful play. So, like, yeah, 275, three tutties, no turnovers. That would be insane if that happens, because it's just not likely. But him playing bad is not him playing bad in, I don't know, Kansas City. Him playing bad in Cleveland would be less than what Dylan Gabriel did, right?
Yeah.
Like Dylan Gabriel, there are people out there who are like, Dylan Gabriel actually looks good because he just didn't look horrible. And by the way, they were wrong. He was awful. But I think my point is, like, I think we're so, the bar is set so low for quarterbacks here that the classification of Shador looked good is like 175 yards, two tutties, and no INTs.
Very fair. Yeah, very fair. But the other side of this, too, is that he doesn't have the same leash that Pete was describing for some of these other quarterbacks either. So he doesn't get the, hey, it didn't go well in your first start and a half, so we just get to maybe wait and revisit this conversation in a year and 12 starts later. He doesn't have that luxury. He just doesn't.
Yeah, Kay on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat said something of like, well, you know, the stats, you can have a bad stat line, but winning is all that matters. I don't think for Shador. I really don't.
No.
I mean, you can
win this game where Judkins goes crazy, the defense makes a lot of plays, you win the game, and if Shador doesn't look the part, I got news for you guys. He's not going to be coming out there the next week.
Like the Miami game. But Dylan Gabriel looked bad. He had 18 passes, and six of them stunk, or six of them were incompletions that should have been touchdowns or something otherwise. But because he won and because the Browns won, people were like, I don't know why. Of course he played well. He won.
Well, it was 13
of
18.
But that's Dylan Gabriel.
It was 13 of 18, and he had two touchdowns and zero interceptions. We debated that game.
Yes.
We debated that game with good reason, I think. And that's an important thing to note as we look into this game. How it looks does matter, and that can help Shador out in many ways. It can also hurt Shador.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply, in app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
As well.
Now, that being said, are you ready for some, I would say, brown and orange colored glasses content here?
Well, I'm always ready for that.
Well, Nick Kostos, who's always on Baskin and Phelps. I think he hosts an hour every day. Nick Kostos was on with the...
He hosts an hour on Baskin and Phelps?
Yeah, yeah. They go get some lentil. There's a great soup spot down the road, maybe a coffee.
They just take off and
some ham warmers.
And then Nick is just out here just yelling.
Yeah, and then Dan will pitch in. Like, hey, Dan, hey, Nick, what about this? And then Kostos will riff for another 15, 20 minutes. And then eventually he wraps up and the Midday boys get back into it. But Nick Kostos was on Middays today and basically said success in Cleveland.
Yes, they're 0-5 on the road, but I don't know, like it feels like a lot of those teams are good, and then they lost a fluky game to the Jets, so I don't necessarily put a ton of stock into that. And I'll just repeat, just on the Browns overall, like I actually think like this season is a success for Cleveland. So many of the young players are good. Like, how good is Schwesinger? He's going to be an All-Pro. Like, Fannin's good. Like, Mason Graham's good. This is exactly what you wanted this season to be. The Browns were never going to the playoffs this year, and I was consistent in the offseason with you guys. Like, the quarterback of the future is not on the roster. And now you've set yourself up with multiple first-round picks in next year's draft, like a good young nucleus of players, and now you can go get your quarterback and really cook with gas next year. I actually think, like, this season is like a smashing success for the Cleveland Browns, even if the record doesn't show it.
All right, one, I just realized that Nick Kostos sounds like my buddy Bill Ryder on helium and cocaine.
Ryder than you.
Yeah. It's twice as fast, and his voice is twice as high as well than Bill. But Bill has better opinions than whatever that just was. There's never a season in the NFL that you can say is a smashing success if you're on pace for three wins if you're lucky.
When you start off the commentary saying you're 0-5 on the road, but some of those teams look good. Like what do we do? You started off with 0-5 on the road. That's hard. It felt like the commentary from someone that, as Nick is, he's not in Cleveland. He's in New York, and he's not really worried about the Browns outside of for when he does the hits here, and that's okay. I don't begrudge him for that in the slightest bit. I think he does a good job. I think his research is always top notch. I like Nick overall. I do, but that missed it. That felt like something you could say for something that you're not really committed to or not really, living and dying every single day, which he's not.
Yeah. Now, if you said in the next seven games, the Browns went 3-for-4, so basically play 500 ball, and across, don't get blown out again, so you still end up just a 5-win team. But either Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders makes you think twice about drafting a quarterback next year, then you can start using words like success. If you found a starting quarterback in this this thing, even if you won five games, that's but two wins, you might get to three wins. I mean, even from here, if they go 0-7 down the stretch and they still look at Shedeur and go, that's a quarterback of our future, it still cannot be fully successful until we see him win at this level.
Basically, what Nick was saying was that the draft picks were a smashing success. If he would have reframed it as that, of like, the season stinks, the season's going nowhere, obviously this isn't great, you might clean house at the end of the season, you might keep everybody, but you might clean house at the end of the season, but hey, your draft picks, how about that draft class for 2025? That's essentially what he was trying to say.
Yeah, I know, but even that, it's like, the expectation is you draft well. I mean, if you have four top 70 picks, the expectation is all of those. This is another way that the Browns have just normalized bad football. Like in
the Andrew Berry time, we haven't seen him have a draft like this, and so I think that's why it's getting a lot of attention.
No,
right,
definitely
now.
Fair. And I'm not trying to take away credit for this. I just think in proper context, like, the Baltimore Ravens usually have three or four guys that come in as rookies and play really well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Even if, in fairness, I think between Graham, Schlesinger, Judkins, and Fannin, I don't think they're just four guys playing really well. I think all four guys, at the very least, are good starters in the NFL. So that's maybe a little bit
but what is interesting, though,
upper quartile of it.
I do see more people talking the way that Costos is, not smashing success necessarily, but when they rank out these teams, they're not like, they don't look at us the way they look at the Saints. They don't look at us the way they look at the Raiders right now. They don't look at us the way that they look at the Jets. Like, some of these really, really awful NFL teams, there's at least the idea of like, yeah, okay, you're not winning games, but you don't feel like the worst of the NFL. And it shouldn't make you feel any better that you're not the absolute dead last of the NFL.
Are they watching the games? Because I don't think they are.
No, they're not. That's the point, though. That's the point. Like, Costos doesn't, he watches them because he's a gambler, but he's not invested in every minute of every Browns game. There's a million games going on.
Do you think maybe he just had a really nice bet come in on the Browns, and that's just curried some extra points
I'd
for him?
I'd love to know what bet it was, unless it was like sack total for Myles Garrett. I want to know what bet he's having. But
good prop bet.
The gambler brain is wired that way, Nick, where it's like one big bet on Myles Garrett would be enough for him to be like, hey, this is a pretty good situation.
Took
that they
the under
going
in
on
one
here.
Of those early ugly games and never forgotten it.
It's a pretty good situation.
Made it whole in the end. 216-474-0092. Nick Costos saying this season for the Browns, he would consider it a smashing success. I think you're right. I think that's something you can say if you're not watching every single game. I think the draft picks, the first four draft picks, that's been great. I think certainly the defense has really given you reason to hope in the future. I just think, like, everything else can't be diminished because of a couple of positive things with the Browns.
For sure, and I don't think we're doing it, but it is interesting.
I think the Browns might. I think that's the concern. Well, I think Jimmy Haslam might say
the Browns
smashing
might.
Success.
And the sad part is you're noticing the narrative across, whether it's Colin Cowherd tweeting on what was that, Monday or Tuesday, talking about how positive things were for the Browns, and then you got Costos over here. Like, they're going to try to get that out there as often as they can.
I might have a new side hustle to consider. We talk about it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.